Well, good morning. How is everyone this morning? Good. I just want to say briefly before I begin the sermon this morning, I would like to say thank you to everyone who reached out this past week, whether it was text, email, just so many of you reached out and were offering support and affirmation to me, and I just want you to know that means so, so much to me. I'm grateful to be here at Forest Hills. I'm grateful to be your associate pastor to youth and children, and I just want to continue doing the work that God has called me to do. So thank you for your support. No, I thank you. So the title of our sermon for today is called A Painful Shortcut, and it's a story that you know. You know the story of Abraham and Sarah, originally Abram. Abram is called by God to go and to follow him. And in Genesis 12, God says to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed by you." That's a lot of good, isn't it? A lot of blessing. But something I want to point out in those statements that were just made, God says, "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. Not by your power will you become great and will be blessed, but by my power alone." This is something to keep in mind as we continue our story this morning, but I just wanted to point that out to you. And so Abram and his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot go out from Haran to the land of Canaan as God has commanded him to do. And at this point, he's 75 years old. Both he and Sarah have no children. And throughout the book of Genesis, we see Abram growing into the call that God has placed upon his life and what it means to faithfully trust in him. He makes some mistakes, and he does the wrong thing from time to time, but in his heart, he's trying to follow God. Then God makes him a promise of something that he wants so desperately, a son. Now, here's where things get tricky. Abram and Sarah, his wife, have been living in Canaan for about 10 years at this point, okay? So Sarah has given up hope on having children. She feels like the Lord has abandoned her. And so Sarah comes up with a plan to fulfill God's promise to Abram to have a son. She gives her slave, Hagar, to Abram to become his wife. And soon enough, Hagar becomes pregnant. Sarah then becomes upset because her slave, Hagar, whom she gave to Abram, is now going to give Abram a child, and she could not do this. So she goes to Abram and she says, "This is your fault. You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me." Abram says, "I'm staying out of this one. Do with her what you will." And so Sarah mistreats her out of jealousy and anger and all the many things that she is feeling. And so Hagar flees. Hagar finds herself in the desert alone and desperate when an angel of the Lord appears. And the angel asks her, "Where have you come from and where are you going?" So Hagar tells the angel the situation, and the angel says, "Go back and submit to your mistress, and your descendants will become too numerous to count." The angel also tells her that the child she's carrying is a boy and that she is to name him Ishmael. "For the Lord has heard of your misery." And it says she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." Now I want you to jump forward with me a little bit. We're going to be looking at chapter 21. That is our text for today. But I wanted to give you a little bit of background of where we're coming from. So Abraham is now 100 years old. And his son Isaac, whom he was promised, has been born. Okay, So he and Sarah are happy, and their promise from God has been fulfilled through Isaac. But there's still someone that's present in this situation that makes this picture-perfect scenario a little bit more difficult. And so we begin in our text. It's Genesis chapter 21, verse 8 is where we're stopping, and we'll have it up here on the screen for you. It says, "The child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, 'Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son, Isaac.' The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, 'Do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring.' Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes, and then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, 'I cannot watch the boy die.' And as she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, 'What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation.' Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and she filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. And while he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt." So once again, we see Sarah and Abraham both making a choice to fix a problem that was created by taking a shortcut to begin with. Abraham and Sarah were promised children, and instead of patiently waiting for the Lord to fulfill that promise, they took matters into their own hands. And then out of this decision, a new life was created that was blameless, but was placed smack dab in the middle of a painful situation. But there's something in the background text that stood out to me that is also present in the text that we just read just a moment ago. When Hagar originally fled from Sarah when she was pregnant, an angel appeared to her, and this encounter caused her eyes to be opened to the God who sees her, and in turn caused her to see God. And now in the text where Hagar and Ishmael are sent away right before they are on the brink of giving up, God opens her eyes and she sees a well of water. God provided for her and for her son. So what can we take away from this story? And how can we open our eyes to see God and his plan for our lives more clearly? I think the story of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar teaches us how we can see, hear, and do as God has commanded us. If we're willing to open our eyes and see the way God sees and hear the way God hears, our perspective changes because it changes our heart. Jesus describes this change when he was talking with his disciples in Matthew chapter 13. And I want to share some of these words with you. So we're going to be looking at Matthew 13, starting with verse 10. And it says this: "The disciples came to him and asked, 'Why do you speak to the people in parables?' He replied, 'Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Through seeing, they do not see. Through hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. From this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. There are many different ways of looking at a situation, and there are many different lenses we put on, both intentionally and unintentionally, as we try to look for a solution to a problem. In the story of Sarah and Abraham, we see the way they solve their problems from the perspective of someone on the outside looking in. It's easy for us to sit here knowing the full story and say, well, they were wrong. They should have waited and trusted God that he was going to do what he said. But in the midst of their trial, they saw an opportunity to fix their problem, and they moved forward with it. They chose not to ask God to help them see his plan through his eyes or listen to his promise through his ears that would help them to understand in their hearts that he was faithful. That's why it's important for us as Christian people to pray for eyes to see and ears to hear that will lead us on the path of righteousness and to trust in God's promises to us as his people. I wanted to share this poem with you that I found, and it's entitled, God Gave Me Ears and Eyes. And it's written by a lady named Deborah Ann Belka, and it goes like this. God gave me my ears. He made them able to hear his voice in his word so that the truth can be heard. He wants them to learn. He wants them to discern what for me he desires to do what he requires. God gave me my eyes. He made them to be wise. So his way I could see clearly in front of me. He wants them to apply, he wants them to rely on him for all things, no matter what life brings. God gave me my eyes, so to him I'd be wise. He gave me my ears, so his voice I could hear. This morning I want to challenge you and me to spend a few moments in contemplation and prayer with God, discerning how we can do a better job of asking God to guide our hearts so that we can see people the way that he sees them and hear them the way that he hears, so that wherever we go and whatever we do, the things that we see and the words we hear would go through a God-like filter that reminds us that he is in control. It is he that has a plan even when we can't see it fully. And it is he that keeps his promises because he is faithful. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you today with hearts that are earnestly seeking after you. We want our heart and soul to be so filled with your presence and your power that it is all we can do to see people through your eyes and hear them through your ears. God, we love you and we want to love others the way that you want us to. Help us to be your people to all people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.